Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Kelbert, and I'm joined today by Coralie Miller. Coralie, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hey, everybody out there. It's me, Coralie, speaking to you from the past. I'm a museum docent from the Sun Troops Heritage Museum. My specialties include storytelling, leading tours, and helping out with the exhibition spaces, and just your overall know-it-all.
I think you have to add that you are also a local video star to that as well.
Oh. Yeah, no.
If anyone hasn't seen the videos that the Sun Troops Heritage Museum has been producing, they're absolutely fantastic. I encourage you to seek them out. I think I've seen them on Instagram, possibly on YouTube. Yeah, they're fantastic. So Coralie, today we're talking about the future. So what do you think the future holds?
Well, okay, before COVID, I had such an optimistic view. I would be up to my earlobes and little eight-year-olds coming in on buses, learning about First Nation history, specifically the Okanagan First Nation history. But of course, that was all dashed. But it's cool because one thing that if people know how to do, and that's adapt. So we've had to go digital for a lot of different things. And I think it's just going to be the new way in how we operate moving forward. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on their phone always. And when you come into a museum, there's didactics, right? But some people like to read them, but most of the time people like to have more of an organic interaction. People want a conversation. They want to touch stuff and look at things and download. So I think moving forward, we're going to have to start making apps and maybe some QR codes and mostly just making it a space where it's not so much come in and look around. It's going to be a lot more social.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I know that you folks have started exploring sort of like a digital, and this is also a question I'd love to know people's thoughts on. I often interchange digital and virtual when I'm just depending on my mood, but I know that you folks have started doing some digital field trips or digital tours. So how's that been?
It's a little touch and go. I never realized how much of a social person I was. I'd usually consider myself a bit of an introvert, but I miss my kids. I miss seeing faces. I miss interaction with people when they come in through the museum. And when I'm doing a virtual tour, I just see the little camera looking at me. And I have to look at my camera lady, be like, was that joke funny? Mm-hmm. See if she's smirking or anything. And then what we did too is we took like little sticky notes. They're star shaped, super cute. We just stuck them on the floor so I know where to stand and she knows where to position the camera. So it's such a weird feeling, but we're just gonna have to get used to it.
Yeah, I've seen some meetings now on Zoom where the host actually, you know, makes a big plea for people to turn their video on and acknowledges like, I know that you might be eating or whatever you're doing, you might get up and leave and come back. But if you have your video on, then I can see if my jokes land. I can see if you're nodding your head because you're following along, or I can see if I ask, can you see my screen? Someone doesn't have to unmute and say, yes, I can see your screen. You can do the thumbs up and making this plea because it is, it's so much feedback that you get that's nonverbal that you're missing when people keep all their videos off.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, someone tell me I'm funny.
Yes. Could we just get like a laughing emoji that people can press in the meeting so that I know that it's happening?
To get a laugh track.
Yes. So when we're talking about like this future with more digital engagement, what does that look like to you?
Well, what I would think, there would be a virtual option. I think after COVID, we're gonna be a new generation with agoraphobia. Mm. So I think people have gotten used to just not going anywhere. and to be able to take a look at the museum virtually through a website, that I don't think that's actually an idea we want to go for, because we need bodies in the museum. We don't want to give away everything, but definitely more Zoom tours, I think, is the way to go, because there are a lot of schools that are way out, far, far away, and it's just not feasible for them to rent a bus and haul their kids over and then haul them back.
Absolutely.
I think it would make the museum more, what's the word I'm looking for? Accessible.
Yeah.
That's really what we want, is we want everybody to be able to learn how awesome we are.
Yes. It's so interesting you said accessibility, because way back when, I want to say the summer of COVID, we hosted a webinar where the Museum of Surrey joined us, and they had done like a 3D, not a rendering, but they take 3D photos and make a sort of interactive 3D map of the museum. And they did this prior to COVID, but it lined up with COVID as a means for accessibility for visitors to prepare for their visit by doing a tour around the site, specifically for those who are neurodiverse, so they have an idea of what to expect, which I thought was such an interesting thing to do. And I think can go really alongside this digital future for museums is accessibility.
Oh, dope. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Have you stumbled upon any like cool digital things out there that you've seen museums doing?
Right now we're trying to invest in sound lasers.
Tell me more.
So how the sound laser works is you walk in and there's a certain spot that you stand on, and it, I cannot speak today. It makes the sound only stay in one spot.
Oh.
So someone else in the room can't hear what you're hearing. And so you can walk up to a didactic and it can be read out to you, or you could hear ambient sounds of maybe water rushing or elk calls or something. It just adds that extra experience, that immersion, I guess, is what we're trying to get. And I think it just, to hear an actual human voice is so much more powerful than just reading and making a voice up in your head.
Yes, absolutely. I think you can also have that where you can, like, it has such a personal impact, because if you have someone, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the Gulf of Georgia Cannery, but they have a video and it's a grandfather talking to a granddaughter, I think, at the beginning, and the grandfather's the narrator, and hearing like a grandfatherly voice tell you a tale brings a different level of like emotion than if it was just like me, Lorenda, reading out the script at the beginning, because it makes you feel like you're going back in time and they're setting the scene, and it like really does change the perception you have of the story that's being told.
Oh, exactly. I think the major point of a museum is for conservation, of course, but it's also telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creating that, I guess, that environment and that interaction. You're providing a space for someone to come in and experience our history through our perspective.
Yes.
It just hits better whether you actually see a human face with it or hear a human voice.
Absolutely. And back to your point about accessibility, these sound lasers sound like they'd be amazing in order to not only assist folks who have difficulty reading text panels, I'm sure you could have it in different languages so that you could have it be inclusive for different people coming. Who don't read or speak English. Like, that's amazing.
No, translations are definitely something that we need to work on. I've been lucky. Usually there's more foreign tours that come through, but they happen to have English speaking relatives that translate mm-hmm. for them. So I do my usual song and dance, but I go slower
mm-hmm.
to give them time to translate. And in exchange, I learn a little bit of German.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to practice your German?
Yeah, actually, I learned that pine pitch is huts.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A pit house is a Grubenhaus.
That's fantastic. Oh yeah. My goodness. Just add a little like text panel next to it. Just the one translation in German for it. Just this one artifact here.
Yeah.
That's so neat. I love that exchange that you can have with visitors. And it's something I definitely feel has been unfortunately lost through COVID when we were closed. And now it's not like we've said early in the podcast, it's not as engaging when everyone's videos are off and they're all muted. You don't get that sort of exchange.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss people.
Yes. So in 20, 30 years, 40 years, COVID is a distant memory. Do you want to take a guess at what the fusion of digital or virtual aspects of museums would look like? What do you think that far down in the future?
Oh man, 20, 30 years down the road?
Yeah.
I'm imagining that we are rich as balls.
Okay.
We're exploding with cash.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to have sound lasers. We're gonna have sound lasers, and we're definitely gonna have ambient music. We're gonna get like fancy pan flutes.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have videos for sure.
Yeah,
doing like the full-on timeline of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And oh gosh, 20, 30 years from now, we have retaken Canada.
Amazing.
And it's now our chief that's on the $20 bill.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It could be. We don't know. The future is unwritten. Who knows what's going to look like?
And I discovered this AR technology too. I thought it would be so cool if someone could. So what AR is you put your camera over a picture and that picture will animate. And I thought, man, that would be so cool if you could point that over to like some of our fishnets, and all of a sudden there's fish wiggling in it, or you point it at the wolf and it goes a ooh, or you point it to the eagle and it does like a caca or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
That's so cool. So you're not envisioning 20, 30 years down the line that we've got VR headsets. You enter into the museum, you put your VR headset, you sit in sort of like a Disneyland ride and it just takes you through.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if we had VR, we wouldn't have to worry about COVID, but it would be like an explosion of pink eye. So
That's very true. You know, you gain one thing, you lose another. There's always going to be something you'll have to work against.
It'd be like ground zero for like this weird mutated version of pink eye. So
yes,
we don't want that.
4 stars out of 5. Great experience, but 1 star off because I got pink eye.
Exactly.
Well, I guess we'll have to just wait and see what the future holds. Any last thoughts?
No, just we're book a Zoom tour. Keep our lights on. We need money.
Yeah. So if people want to find out more information or to book a tour, where can they go?
Okay. So we have our website, sencweeps.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's sencweeps.com. And go there and you can book yourself a Zoom tour.
Amazing. And I do want to say the BCMA team booked a Zoom tour as a team building activity quite a few weeks now, like maybe even 2 months ago.
Oh, it was definitely like before Christmas.
Oh my God. Okay, so definitely more than 2 months ago because it's April. It was absolutely fantastic. It was educational. I learned so much. Coralie is a wonderful host. It was very engaging, very funny. It was a really great team building experience for us. It was fun to do something different. Our offices still work from home and we've got folks all over. So it was really lovely to be able to get together and do something like that. So I strongly encourage any listeners to check it out because it was a wonderful experience. And I can't gush enough about how great it was. Coralie, thank you so much for joining us here today. I'll make sure that the description of this podcast includes a link to your website so people can check you out. And I guess we'll just have to see what the future holds.
No, thanks for inviting me here and listening to me rant. All good. Thanks.
Of course. Our pleasure.